When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Then some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Stand up, take your bed, and go to your own home." And the man stood up, and he went to his home. When the crowd saw it, they were filled with awe, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to human beings. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, before I get started too far, I'd like to tell you a little bit about who I am, who stands before you today. My name is Jeff Borgward. I serve as pastor of First Lutheran Church in Longview, Texas, and I also serve as the assistant dean of the Eastern Mission Conference of our synod. And so it's really a joy to be with you today as we install your pastor. I have been here to Good Shepherd before, not in the context of worship, but our youth group has stayed in your facility as we have attended other youth events in the city of Irving. So I know the tile in your Sunday school rooms very well. But anyway, it is a privilege and a great honor to be with you here today. Because installations are a time of great joy and celebration within a congregation. And a couple of months ago, I had the opportunity to attend another pastoral installation at a Baptist church in the city of Longview. And that was a first for me. I showed up at this particular event because I'm a community leader and I want to be a good colleague with other pastors in town. But I was also genuinely interested in what a non-liturgical church would do for an installation service. You see, as we're going to see shortly, as Lutherans, we have a very set service, and we fit it within the normal liturgy for worship. And as I sat through this service at the Baptist church, I realized that even in a non-liturgical Baptist church, they kind of do the same thing, because the service that I experienced was pretty much the same as any other Baptist service. There was music, and there was singing, and there was dancing, and there was scripture, and there was prayer, and there was preaching. Lots of preaching. It followed their normal style. But when it came time to install that pastor, it was different from anything that I had ever experienced. Because you see, what they did was they gave a charge to the pastor, and they gave a charge to the people. We sort of do the same thing, but we do it in a kind of a litany, right? You're going to see this in a little while. We'll say, "Will you blah, 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 blah?" And you'd respond, "How?" "Yes, by the help of God," right? Or "we will," depending on the situation. But what the Baptist church did didn't include anything like that because, well, it was probably too liturgical. But what they did was they had direct scriptural preaching as a charge to the pastor. And they had direct scriptural preaching as a charge to the congregation. They described the responsibilities that each were bringing to the relationship. And frankly, it was all good stuff. It was very necessary. It was very appropriate. The downside, however, was that effectively we heard three sermons, right? We heard the actual sermon, and then we heard the sermon that was the charge to the people, and then we heard the sermon that was the charge to the pastor. And 3 hours later, it was time to go home. So fortunately today, there's only going to be one sermon. And as far as I can tell, the service is not going to be 3 hours long, but I'm only in charge of this part, so... But the sermon that you will hear is going to have a charge to the pastor. And it's also going to have a charge to the people, based on our scripture readings for this occasion this afternoon. And so I read from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, and I read a healing story. But I want to push it a little bit farther and realize that there's more to this than just a paralyzed man being healed. Because if you look carefully at the story, you realize that what it's really about is the authority of Jesus. Listen to what it says. "And just then some people were carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, your sins are forgiven.' And just then it says that some people in the crowd, some scribes, the religious folks, the people that knew how this was supposed to happen, they had all their theology right, and they said, wait, he's blaspheming. God is the only one that can forgive sins. He can't say that. And so Jesus decided that he needed to prove his authority. He needed to prove to them that he had authority to forgive sins, and he went through this logical proof, and in the end, he heals the paralyzed man to demonstrate this authority. Listen to it. But Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven? Or to say, stand up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man, so that you may know that I have authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, stand up, take your bed, go home. And the man stood up and he went to his home. So we're here today to install your pastor. This is the charge to you who are the people of the congregation of Good Shepherd. Your pastor has authority. By the virtue of the fact that you have called her to be your pastor, you have given her the authority to carry out the ministry that God has called her to among you. But more importantly, her authority has been granted to her by Christ. In other words, as she functions as a pastor, whether she's preaching or leading worship or visiting you in the hospital or in your home or wherever it is that she carries out this ministry, she functions on the basis of Christ's authority that has been placed upon her. Now you might say, why does that matter? Why is that important? I want to tell you about something that happened to me in my first call. I had a person who challenged my authority to proclaim the forgiveness of sins. Now that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But that's what he said. He says, well, you know that piece that Pastor Vicki led earlier? Right? What does she say? As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. He says, why can you? You can't say that. And I said, really? The liturgy makes it very clear on whose authority sins are being forgiven, on whose authority the pastor speaks. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. It's by Christ's authority. And that authority is not just limited to confession and forgiveness. That authority is not just limited to the proclamation of the forgiveness of sin, but it goes into every other aspect of pastoral ministry as well. Not to be authoritarian, right, and do everything the way that she wants to, right? That's not what this is about. But it works out of a call from God and a conviction of the Holy Spirit. You see, people of Good Shepherd, this is a special time for you. God has sent you, and you have called this woman to be your pastor. She has the authority of Christ to preach, teach, and administer the sacraments among you. Support her. Encourage her in her call. Embrace her in these tasks that have been placed before her. Embrace her as your pastor. Because you see, you have a very special role as a congregation with a first call pastor. She has Christ's authority, no question about it. But we also know that she's a human being. And human beings make mistakes. And we also know that everything is new for her. You see, at some point in time, somebody's going to make a phone call. And there's going to be some kind of news coming from the other end of the phone. And she's never heard that before as a pastor. When somebody calls and says that a member of the church congregational council has died, and she goes, I don't know what to do. These are leaders in my congregation. But you see, you have a special place to guide and help your pastor to learn how to respond. Because not only has Christ's authority been placed upon her to be your pastor, Christ's authority has been placed upon you to be the people of God. That's what it means for us to be together as the people of God. That was a Holy Spirit moment. I lost my place. Oh, yeah. The other thing, right? Not only is everything new, but that also means that she's going to have some fresh ideas. She's going to have some different approaches to what it means to be church, what the church is, what the church is called to be. You have a special role to help to form her and help her learn what it means to be a pastor for you, but not just for this congregation, but for the work of the whole church. You have a special role to teach her how to use this authority that Christ has placed upon her. It's a vital role that you have. It's an important role that you have as a First Call congregation. So here's your charge. I know I already gave you one, but here's another one. Respect and embrace the authority of Christ that has been given to your pastor. Support her, encourage her, and embrace her. But also challenge her. Challenge her to be faithful to the calling that has been given to her in the same way that you are challenged to be faithful to the calling that has been given to you. So that together you may serve this community for the sake of Christ's ministry in the world. Now, Pastor Catherine, here's a question for you. How will you use the authority that Christ has given to you as you serve in this call? And before you answer, remember that we are talking about Christ's authority, not your own. God has given you the ability, the authority, and the gifts to lead these people in this congregation. But the key thing, I think, for you to remember is this, that part of using this authority that God has given to you, part of using your leadership skills and your leadership gifts is using and engaging the gifts of all these folks that are seated here today. Engaging the gifts of others that God has brought to this place and has gathered into this place. And that's what the reading from Romans is about today. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us." You see, each person who is a part of this congregation is gifted differently for the sake of Christ's ministry in this community. Catherine, you have specific gifts as a pastor, but there are others who are seated here that may have specific gifts for something like the altar guild or the fellowship committee or the maintenance committee. God bless you if you have those gifts. Or maybe it's music, or maybe it's to work with your food pantry down the hall, or whatever it might be. But the truth of the matter is, when everybody works together, the body of Christ is strengthened. And guess what? The body of Christ will grow and be nurtured. We know this, right? If you know this, raise your hand. But sometimes it's awful hard, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard for all of us to get together and get on the same page, whether it's pastor and people or people and people. It's hard for us to get on the same page. Yet, Catherine, by Christ's authority, you have been called to the office of pastor. And it's your job to bring it all together. Right? To facilitate how it is that these gifts are going to be used by the people of God in this particular congregation. And you will fulfill that call with the help of God as you preach, teach, and administer the sacraments. Be faithful to this call, based on the authority and the gifts that Jesus Christ has given to you. That's your charge. And we're going to affirm that charge in a formal liturgical way, as only Lutherans can, in just a short time. So here's the deal. This is a special day for us here. A special day for Pastor Catherine. A special day for the people of Good Shepherd, a special day for our colleagues who are gathered here to celebrate. By Christ's authority, together, we have been called into ministry. And it is a ministry of proclamation, a ministry of healing, and a ministry of mutual support. It is a ministry that touches the lives of people with the love and the grace of God. And we do this together. We use the gifts that God has given to us, so that we might strengthen and build up the body of Christ, so that it may grow and continue to share that love and grace with others around us. So may we together support one another, encourage one another, embrace one another, and yes, even challenge one another, as we are called and sent by God to do God's work.